السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استنى بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولو أن أهل القرى آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض ولكن كذبوا فأخذناهم بما كانوا يكسبون صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks, only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity for gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq of seeing many, many more Jumu'ahs. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq of appreciating this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And then we ask Allah ta'ala that He makes it such that the last day of our earthly life is the day of Jumu'ah. The topic that I wish to discuss today is the topic of Barakat. Everyone aspiring for barakat, and everyone wishes that we have barakat. But what is barakat, and what does barakat really refer to? Is barakat confined only to financial aspects? Is barakat only confined to quantitative aspects, in other words, things to do with money? Or is barakat something more widespread? It's got to do with happiness, goodness. It's got to do with feeling of happiness in terms of a person's wealth, in terms of a person's family, in terms of a person's general life. Is there goodness found in it? What is his relationship with his children, relationship with his neighbors? What is his level of happiness as far as the general day-to-day life aspects are concerned? So we find that barakat is something that is not confined. We'll explain. It's not something that is confined only to money. People think that this barakat is only to do with money. But barakat doesn't have to do with money. If we look at the old people of the past, at our forefathers, etc., you'll find one person was working, but a whole family grew up in that one home. And sometime in that one home, so many people were staying, it was surprising that how one person was working, and so many people loved, and so many people were happy, they all lived together. So that is what you call barakat. And then you get the time now that we're in, that in one home, maybe four people, five people are working, but there seems to be so much of misery, and the people can't come out from that one home. So this is what you call barakat. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala in little, Allah gives you the ability to do so much. And sometimes you find that a person has so much, but he can't do anything with that money. So this the definition of barakat, يَثُبُوتُ الْخَيْرِ الْإِلَهِ فِي شَيْءٍ, the establishment of goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divine goodness in something, is known as barakat. ثُبُوتُ الْإِلَهِ, the ثُبُوتُ خَيْرِ الْإِلَهِ فِي شَيْءٍ, the goodness coming directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in something, this is known as barakat. And now this word birka in Arabic, it actually means a mass of water that is collecting on ground, collecting on sand. So when you see a mass of water collecting on sand, on ground, what it means is that water itself is not just coming and seeping in, it's holding. When it holds, then people can benefit from the water, animals can come take benefit from it, it lasts. So when there's barakat in money, that money also lasts. When there's barakat in happiness, that happiness also lasts. When there's barakat in health, that health also lasts. So barakat in anything gives it that ability to last, like how that water stays on that land and doesn't seep. Another word that is used is barakatil ibil, that when a camel kneels on the ground, when it kneels and it goes down to sit, it goes down on its four legs. So when it goes down on its four legs, now to move that camel becomes very hard. So therefore you find generally when there's a storm and there's a heavy wind, then camels all go down. The reason they go down is because it's not easy to move. They don't get easily swayed when they are sitting down. So like that, when a person has got barakat, his wealth doesn't just come and it sways and moves away, it flies away. It remains firm and it remains there. Not only the wealth, even the goodness. Hazrat Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha, at that time they had come, it was a practice of the Arabs, that they would come to the city area, those from the villages would come to the city area, and they would take the children, the newborn children, etc., to the villages for few reasons. One is that air that's found in the village is very good. The other is the Arabic that is found there is very good. And the other reason is that generally you'll find that they will come back, the children that grow up there, they will come back more strong, more fit, more healthy, because they're growing up in that village environment. So anyway, she had come and she relates her story that she had come with the people from the Banu Sa'd tribe, and when she had come to Madinatul Makkatul Mukarrama, then at that time they were each person that had come. She says that I had come with a group of people. I had my husband with me, I had my infant child that was breastfeeding. There was such a high level of poverty that I didn't have enough milk to feed my child. Forget about taking a foster child back with me. And that camel also was so lean, the donkey that we had was so lean, it was hardly giving any milk. Hardly any milk was given from that animal. So then she explains that anyway we came in this condition. And my camel also was so slow, the donkey was slow as we were coming. Anyway, when we reached Makkatul Mukarrama, all the ladies, they selected and they took whichever child they could get. And I was left now, and it was time to go back. There was no child for me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was from amongst the children that was on offer to take. But nobody had taken Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because they thought that this child is a yatim. And who's going to pay us? How are we going to get remunerated when we got a yatim? I'm just showing you, it doesn't mean that barakat comes from financial means. Barakat Allah Ta'ala can show in many different ways. So nobody had taken this child. So anyway, it was about time to go back. She said, I told to my husband that perhaps Allah Ta'ala will give us barakat in this child. Never mind, let us just take it instead of going back empty-handed. So I took this child. Ulama Maulana Idris Khandelvi, Rahmatullah Ali, he explains that people thought that this child was a yatim. What they didn't realize, this was a durre yatim. Durre yatim means a rare pearl. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a rare pearl. They thought that this was a child, just a yatim. This was a durre yatim. It was a rare pearl. Anyway, she said, the moment I pick up this child, a ajib, a strange level of barakat had overtaken us. Allah Ta'ala had given me so much of milk. I didn't have enough milk for my child. Now suddenly I had enough milk to feed my child and feed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That camel that I came with hardly was giving any milk. Now that camel also was giving milk. That donkey also was being so swift. On the return trip we were beating everyone. On the coming trip this animal was so slow, we were lagging behind. People are asking us, is the same animal that you came with? I said, yeah, it is the same animal. Gee, it is the same animal. So when they had got back now to the village, and now there was a time, it was a time of poverty and drought, etc. The goats that she had, those goats that would give milk, her goats were giving so much of milk. So now there was a talk there in that village, that see that where her goats are going to graze, the shepherds were told that you all also go and graze your goats exactly in the same spot. So they did that. The shepherds took their goats and were grazing their goats exactly in the same spot. And here her goats were giving so much of milk. So this was the barakah that had come, that Allah Ta'ala had blessed with the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So barakah doesn't necessarily mean that it is to take something financial. So how do we bring barakah in our life? We all like something. We all like barakah in every aspect of our lives. How do we bring barakah? So there is certain things. Today I confine the talk only as barakah as far as our financial dealings are concerned. Inshallah we'll speak on other aspects that a person can do to bring barakah in other parts or other aspects of his life. But specifically as far as a man's financial dealings are concerned, what can we do? The first thing we should do is as far as our businesses, as far as our trade is concerned. When it comes to businesses, it comes to trade, it doesn't mean I have to have a shop, I have to have a factory, I have to be selling something. I could be working for someone also, but whilst working for someone, what do I need to do to ensure that I get barakat in my business? So if I got, for example, a business and I'm selling goods, the first thing that I need to do is that all the products that I'm selling, I need to know the masail. That this goods I'm selling it, is it halal? When I'm selling it, what are the masail? For example, I haven't taken possession of the goods, I ordered it. I haven't taken possession of it. Am I allowed in Islam to resell something that I haven't taken possession of as yet? Is it permissible, not permissible? The masail we need to find out. Because people are doing these deals, sometimes they're ordering things, or they're giving the impression that they got the product, they're selling it, and now they're going to source it, whereas this is not allowed in Islam. So we need to find out that what is the masla, whether we have taken possession, or we don't even own the product and we're trying to sell something by just marketing it. What is the masla? So when it comes to these masail, we need to find out from ulama ikram. The other aspect of gaining barakat is we need to bring business ethics in our life. Business ethics means what were the ethics shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How business ethics, some of it we'll just go through now. For example, honesty. Honesty is a very important aspect of business ethics. We want barakat, we need to bring these ethics in our life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, At-tajiru as-saduq al-ameen ma'an nabiyyina was-siddiqina was-shuhada. That trader who is what will Allah Ta'ala give him in return? In other words, when he's selling something, he's very honest about it. He's got nothing to deceive, nothing to lie. He's very clear and very open. What would Allah Ta'ala give this honest trader, this person who's very trustworthy? Things were left with him, kept with him as amanat. A deposit was given to him. He uses it, utilizes it correctly. He's not doing anything shady. What would Allah Ta'ala give him in return? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives what a beautiful basharat, glad tidings for that honest trader. At-tajiru as-saduqul amin ma'an nabiyyina was-siddiqina was-shuhada. On the day of Qiyamah, this person will rise up with the Anbiya alayhi salam. In other words, he'll be with that jamaat. He'll be with the shuhada. He will be with those people that were martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he'll be raised up with those people that were extremely honest. Can you imagine what an honor? That in this world, he was a great alim, or he wasn't a sheikh al-hadith, he wasn't a great person who was a qari or something like that. He was a very honest businessman. That's all he was in this world. He knew the masail of business. He was reading his salah. He was doing what he had to do. But nothing extraordinary. It's just that in his business, he was extremely honest. Whatever business he was, whether he was in a profession, whether he was an employee, whether he was an employer, whatever it was. But he was very, very honest. His word was his honor. He spoke the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that Allah will raise him up on the day of Qiyamah with the Anbiya alayhim salam, with the shuhada and with the siddiqeen. What a great honor. So the first thing is we must get this honesty in our lives. One mentioned that al-bayyani bil khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa, that the two transacting parties, they have volition, they have choice to either enter into the agreement or to not enter into the agreement, so long as they haven't concluded the deal. In other words, there's still a period where they are now deliberating, where there's negotiations taking place as far as the price, as far as the product, as far as the amounts. All that negotiation phase is still going. So any party, whether the buyer or the seller, each one has the choice we can pull out of this contract. We don't have to go by it. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that the second party, in other words, after now they have concluded the deal is concluded, offer is given, acceptance is taken. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that if these people did the deal in such a manner, what manner? فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا, that they had two qualities when they were doing this deal of this. There was a person selling, there was a person buying. But in this transaction, both parties, what did they do? They were very honest about it. The person that was selling, he didn't say that this is the best product in the world and this is the best quality that you can find. But in his heart, he knew that wasn't the best product. You can get something else that's better. He didn't say that this thing is 100 grams and he's selling something that is 90 grams. Or he didn't give an impression that something was 2 liters and in the meanwhile it was only 1.8 liters. He didn't give any false impression. He was very clear that this is the house I'm selling, but I know downstairs or everything that you can see around you is looking first class, but I know there's Boris in the roof. The roof is going to collapse any time. He doesn't hide it. Everything, he's very clear about the deal that he's doing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that وَفَإِن صَدَقَى, when they both are very honest, وَبَيَّنَا, they both are very transparent about the deal. These are the flaws, these are the issues, these are the concerns. Everything is laid out. Remember, if Allah Ta'ala wants to give us something, nobody will be able to take it. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give us something, nobody will be able to give it to us. People sometimes, they want to deceive, they want to cheat. Something is written for you, you'll get it. But by cheating and deceiving, all you are doing is you are taking something that was meant to come to you in a halal way. At some time, you are taking it in a haram way and you are spoiling that barakat. So therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that you are transparent, you are honest. بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا, they will find barakat in the deal of theirs. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sounds a warning, وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا, that if these two parties, if they, any one of them, they lie, they cheat, they deceive, or what they do is they conceal, there's some fault here, there's some issues, there's some problems, we're hiding it, we're not exposing it, we're just hiding it so we can sell the deal, we can sell the product. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima, the barakat from that whole deal is taken out, it's gone. And remember, when barakat is gone, you can have on the balance sheet all the assets that are there and it can be showing high values too. But when you go on the ground and you actually take a physical stock take, you do a physical verification, sometimes you'll find that the asset value that is showing on the balance sheet is far higher than what's on the ground. What happened? Where did it go? Sometimes 1 billion, sometimes 2 billion, we can't understand it. Muhiqat barakatu bayhima, Rasulullah wiped out. Wiped out means you can't see it. Finished, like taking an eraser, just rubbing those figures and adjusting it. We don't know where it is gone. It was there, but now we can't find it. How many people tell us in their businesses, suddenly we don't know where that losses went, where that hole came in, and everything got wiped out. So this is it. Honesty in business is something which is very important. The next business ethic that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us is start the day early. Start the day early. Often happens a person is in a profession or person in a business. You feel, now let's start 9 o'clock, let us open 10 o'clock. They were that type of life. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made a special dua for his ummat. Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. That, oh Allah, make barakat for my ummat in the early part of the morning. Another Abi that came and complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, things are tight, things are difficult as far as my income is concerned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahabi to do three things, simple, three things. Sometimes we think that we need to do something very extravagant. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him that when you go home, that when you enter your home, enter with salam, send durood upon me, and recite one time Surah Ikhlas. That's all. Make salam, read durood upon me, and read one time Surah Ikhlas. It is mentioned about the Sahabi that came and complained that things were so difficult and tight, that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him so much, he started spending on all his other family members. Just by doing a simple thing like that, that we overlook. So anyway, this rawi of this hadith about starting the day early, his name was Sakhr al-Ghamidi, Rahmatullah Ali. So he explains that used to dispatch, and I used, or it is mentioned about him that he used to dispatch his goods and dispatch his merchants early, he started the day early. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him so much just by making amal on the starting early. Allah Ta'ala had blessed him so much that he had so much wealth, he didn't know where to keep it, where to store it. Just by starting the day early. So some people, one attorney mentioned to me, he says that I got this practice. I start my day after Fajr, and sometimes most of my contemporaries, the other attorneys, etc., they're only coming into the practices about 10 o'clock, sometimes 11 o'clock. By then I find I'm almost finished with most of my matters. And when Zuhur time comes, my whole table is cleaned out, clear. I'm finished. And then when I speak to some of them at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, they're still not finished with the matters. They're halfway through. They're trying and they're fighting for time. Just by starting early, I found so much of barakah. So this starting early actually is something that is very, very important if we want to bring barakah in our lives. There was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in fact, to get barakah and to get the blessings of the morning, he would dispatch the armies. He would dispatch the mujahideen. It comes in the kitabs. Fi awwalin nahar, in the first part of the day he would dispatch them and send them. And you find even when we want to travel, try and travel if you're going by road, especially a flight we don't have a choice, but traveling by road, try and leave early in the morning. There's a lot of barakat that comes in the early part of the morning. The next thing that we should do is maintain family ties. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in one hadith, man sarrahu ay yubsat lahu fi rizqihi aw yunsa lahu fi atharihi falyasil rahimahu kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Whoever it pleases, whoever it makes him happy, whoever wishes that he wants a expansions as far as his rozi, his rizq is concerned, he wants barakat in his wealth, or this person wishes that he must have a long life. Now who doesn't wish we have any one of these two? Who doesn't wish that he has a long life, and who doesn't wish that he has barakat in his rozi? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave one prescription, simple prescription, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَا, that maintain family ties. When you maintain family ties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you honor also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you risk also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a long life. He mentioned of a sahabi, that his incident was such that he began to maintain his family ties and keep family ties, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him also with so much of wealth that he also now started spending. And many people will tell you that when we started maintaining family ties, Allah ta'ala had given us so much that this honor also came to us in our family, and this ability to spend on our family also became very, very easy. So don't think that we're holding back from spending on our family, we're going to save. Actually, barakat comes when we start maintaining family ties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us more. Another thing to bring barakat and to bring risk into our lives, to bring sustenance and happiness in our lives, is place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That if you place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, Allah will provide for me, I don't have to go to anything doubtful, I don't have to go to anything haram. See, doubtful income is such that it is like taking one beautiful jug of sarbat. Beautiful jug, cold, person is excited, maybe iftar time, he's just waiting to have it. And what we do is we just put 5 mils. What anybody want to drink that cold sarbat after? Nobody. So getting involved in anything that is doubtful is like taking that 5 mils of sarbat and putting it inside that milkshake. Nobody wants to drink it. No matter how cold it is, how beautiful it looks, everything. It spoils it by just putting anything doubtful. So therefore, we should put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't, we don't have to go towards anything doubtful. One person just before Jummah namaz, he phoned me, he said, I want to ask one masla. What masla? He says, I'm a businessman, now people are telling me, we need, it's important for us to take out a kidnapping insurance. Kidnapping insurance. Yesterday somebody phoned, can we take out IST insurance? So where are we going to draw a line? Another man will phone and he'll say, can I take out dividend tax insurance? Where are we going to draw the line? Anything doubtful, leave it out. Put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That person who has taqwa, adopts taqwa, he puts his trust in Allah. Allah will provide for him from sources he never ever thought of. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا. Allah firstly will take him out from any difficulty. Whatever difficulty is, Allah will take him out. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah Ta'ala will provide for him from sources that he never ever imagined. So just to finish the translation of that hadith I quoted before this, that person that has tawakkul and trust on Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that he trusts Allah Ta'ala as he ought to trust Allah Ta'ala. Allah will provide for him like how he provides for the birds. The birds, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam is mentioning, the birds leave their nest, they leave their sanctuary, they leave their home in the morning. How? Khimasan, they leave hungry. They leave in such a way that they are hungry. But when they return, bitanan, they leave in such a way that they're full, they're satiated. That they need big bank balances, that they need employment contracts, that they need big, big government tenders, nothing. All of them leave hungry, come back full. Who provided for them? Allah Ta'ala. So that person who puts his trust in Allah, Allah Ta'ala will also provide for him. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq for bringing these beautiful sifat and qualities in our life so that we may gain the barakah in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.